not a good pick by Drake May yesterday. And it's not like the playmaking was through the roof. Although, Keith, you've highlighted this. Text line highlights it as well. 37937. The near touchdown to K.J. Osborne would have been incredible.
What a play.
Text line, that touchdown pass to K.J. Osborne was so Josh Allen. Why can't receivers stay in bounds? It's a good point.
Well, the receivers aren't very good. And that the problem with the receivers is usually you just think of, like, I don't know, catching and running when you talk about receivers. But there's so much more to it. Like
a guy staying in bounds.
Helps.
Like, both feet in bounds.
Correct.
Yeah.
No, but in all seriousness, like DeAndre Hopkins, one of the reasons why, and I know he's fading, but one of the reasons why he was an elite wide receiver, same like Antonio Brown, as crazy as he is now, if you go back and just watch highlights of those guys near the sideline, it's insane. Because there are catches.
Jefferson now.
You're like, you never think they're in bounds live, and then they show the replay, and you're like, oh, my God. He was getting mugged and got 2 feet in, 2 feet in, 2 feet in. Those guys are incredible at it. That's also a part of it. Anybody can catch. Like, not to go off on a tangent on this, the touchdown that Jalen Polk had yesterday, any person who's ever played football could catch that.
Yeah, he did nothing.
He didn't even look all that smooth doing it. It was a great play call by Van Pelt. I give him all the credit in the world. I think he also knew this guy needs one. This guy is in desperate need of a play. So let's call this scheme it up. Looks like he's blocking, kind of leaks out and catches that. But every guy in the NFL, college, high school games on Friday makes that catch. It's the full speed. You got to get 2 feet in on the sideline while you're getting hit, and you got to catch it and secure it before you go down. Not everybody can do that. And the Patriots really don't have anybody who can.
No.
Like, they don't. I give Booty credit. Booty's played well, and he's had some catches that are contested, and he seems like the guy that Drake May feels the most comfortable with throwing it deep down the field, that kind of stuff. But everybody else, Drake May doesn't seem to have lost confidence in the other guys, which is good, but it's only a matter of time. If you keep throwing to guys and they were out of bounds, came back in, or stepped out of bounds, or you know, dropping passes, you're going to be like, all right, where's somebody else?
You know how many targets Osborne had yesterday?
Three?
That was it.
Oh, the one. Okay.
That was it.
I was going to say, I don't remember any. I was just guessing. Okay, so one.
He had one. Polk
but
had
he played
one.
A lot.
No, he played a decent second amount. Most snaps at wide receiver, which is why even before all of his off-field antics and suckiness and complaining, even before that, I watched him for 1 week, and I'm like, I don't need to see this guy anymore.
No.
He was out there the whole game, and he did nothing.
Yeah.
That was the opener against Cincinnati in a win. And I'm like, I don't need to see this guy anymore.
All right. We both would rather see Bourne than Osborne.
Yep.
Would you rather see Osborne or Thornton?
Oh, I think Osborne.
Yeah. Me too. So it's not at the bottom.
No. He's not at the bottom.
I'd put him sixth on the depth chart.
Yeah.
Because even Polk, who's struggled, I mean, it's a second-round pick. You got to play him. Yeah. You got to see what he can do.
No, Osborne has proven he can play in the NFL. Not really with the Patriots this year, but he's proven he can do it. Thornton's never proven he can play in the
NFL.
What
is the Jones Patriots wide receiver power ranking? 1 through 6. Oh, no. 1 through 7.
Okay, so I was going to ask you this.
Too many guys, first of all.
Right. Let's start with number one. Who's number one? Is it even Pop or is it Booty now?
I'm going Booty.
I think I'm leaning Booty as well.
I'm going Kayshon Booty is the number one receiver on the team.
And this is a reason why we were all calling. Well, we were all.
Yeah.
The two of us.
Both of us.
At the trade deadline, we're calling for them to trade guys like Bourne and Osborne.
You're the only team in the NFL that has 7 wide receivers on the team.
Well, and here's the thing about Kayshon Booty. Should he be a number one receiver? No. Is he their number one wide receiver? He might be. And I think he has a spot on the team next year. Like, I think you've learned that with Kayshon Booty this year. And I was wrong.
Yeah.
He got caught up in the betting scandal at LSU.
Well, he missed on that octopus.
I'm like, get this guy out of here. Why is he even on the team? I was wrong about that. They were smart to hold on to him. And I'm not telling you he's even getting a lot of snaps next year, but that guy...
He's the number one on the team right now. He's playing
that
well.
That guy should have a job on your team next year. It might be the fourth receiver, but that guy should have a job on your team next year. And right now, I agree. I would have him higher in the pecking order than even Pop Douglas.
This texter says, hey, knuckleheads.
Yeah.
Is that both of us?
But knuckleheads, plural, is both of us.
He says, Osborne made a great catch.
Yeah.
He was bumped out of bounds before he caught it, and then he came back in bounds.
Yeah, what a play. Shame
he took himself out of bounds. Watch it again. He took himself
out of bounds twice.
Yeah, he took himself out.
Yeah, he ran out of bounds.
Correct.
To the point where the refs were like, he stepped out. We had to throw our little hat. Yeah. We had to throw the flag. Yeah. You can't be the first one to touch it because you ran out of bounds.
I would say right now, out of the 7 guys, and this isn't for next year. This is for right now. It'd be Booty, Pop Douglas, Kendrick Bourne, KJ Osborne, Polk, Baker Thornton.
Yeah.
Something like that. I mean, Baker's almost a, you can't even give him a grade. He doesn't really play offense. But he's been active the last few weeks. So that goes to show you they like Baker, a fourth-round pick this year, more than they like Thornton, a second-round pick from 2 years ago, more.
Think of what we're saying, right? Even Pop Douglas, if he's the number one, and you think he is,
yeah,
that's a sixth-round pick that might not make a lot of rosters in the NFL if he's your number one. Or your number one is, we just both vouch for Kayshon Boutte, who I thought was ticketed out of the league last year based on his betting scandal, another sixth-round pick. So it's the point about Drake May elevating what's around him, which Caleb Williams is doing the opposite. Caleb Williams is helping to drag down what looked like a talented team on paper.
Oh, my God.
Drake May is getting more out of the garbage that's around him. And it's garbage around him, but Boutte may have a spot on the team next year.
You know,
I think there's value in playing the young guys to find that out.
Would you rather? So we had the question: would you rather be the Patriots or the Jets leading up to the second Jets game?
We both answered Patriots.
We both
said
Patriots, and I wasn't even completely done with the Jets then, but I, you know, certainly am now. Like, who would you rather be, Patriots or Bears? It's got to be Patriots, doesn't it? Because I mean, I guess it depends on who you bring in, but Eberflus, and they're going to start over.
We said, let me ask again, because we asked this earlier, and I guess the way I asked it has to be Patriots.
Yeah.
If you're a coach and you get to coach Caleb Williams or Drake May, who do you want to coach?
I'm picking Drake May.
Same.
That was a pretty decisive knockout on
Sunday. If
you're
a free agent wide receiver, who would you rather play with, Drake May or Caleb Williams?
I would rather play Drake May.
Yeah, then I think the answer is you'd rather be the Patriots.
So they're looking for a coach. They're looking for an offensive coordinator.
The Bears is closer than the Jets.
Agreed. Oh, yeah, God, yeah, because I like Caleb Williams still more than whatever's left of Aaron Rodgers, whatever else they bring. They're looking for a lot more, but the Bears are going to have to start the process of new coach, new coordinator. And then, like, what do you do with Keenan Allen and DJ Moore?
Right. Is Keenan
those
Allen
guys aren't
cooked.
Helping.
Keenan Allen might be washed, and DJ Moore
it's
is a problem.
Right. He has a problem. So, I know the Patriots, it's funny, like, at the beginning of the year, you're like, oh, my God, like, Drake May is so up against it. It might be the worst spot to be kind of just plopped down in. And it still might be, but he himself is kind of, like, turning this thing around where you're like, all right, like, he kind of looks like a hit. And therefore, it changes how you feel about the entire franchise. And there's a lot of teams right now that have 2-3 wins, like the Patriots, but you still feel a little bit better about them. So they're like, all right, like it's 3 wins, 3-7 is nothing to get excited about, but at least arrow pointing up compared to a whole host of other teams.
No, so I caught some of that, Keith, in all honesty. Nick was giving me an update in my ear. The Bears, what's the report out of Chicago? The Bears will
Courtney
be what?
Courtney Cronin that said that Matt Eberflus said there will be changes, not telling what it is right now, but lineup and in terms of coaching.
Okay, and Eberflus was on ESPN 1000 earlier today and basically hinted pretty strongly that Shane Waldron, the offensive coordinator, is going to be out. So, I mean, that team's a mess. And how much credit do we give the Patriots for beating a team that's a mess? Was yesterday more about Chicago than the Patriots? Probably. Like, if I'm a neutral observer, who'd I learn more about yesterday? The Bears need to make changes because the players there are checked out. So it's probably more about Chicago than anything, and that helps paint the picture of how much of, in a bad way, Chicago is. But that's what a team checked out on their coach looks like. These players, I don't think they're fully in on Mayo, despite nice answers like what Hunter Henry gave us earlier today. I don't think they're fully in on Jerod Mayo. How could you be? With some of the missteps and mistakes he's made this year. But they're not checked out. And we saw that against the Jets. That was a week they could have checked out. This was another week where you see what a checked out team looks like. And if you want to give Mayo credit for anything, I don't know if they're playing for him, but they're definitely not checked out on him.
No, definitely not. But it also, again, you go back to the lack of talent, and that's why, like, you don't beat Jacksonville, you don't beat Tennessee, right? So, like, in this area, like, if they were a little bit better, the record stands out, but because there's very winnable, you're playing bad teams in this stretch. And, you know, you were able to get it done against the Jets, and you were able to get it done against the Bears, but at the same time, the nature of the NFL mixed in between is a loss to maybe the worst team you faced in the Tennessee Titans. And like, that's what's sort of maddening. And that's why I think if you did the same exercise with a lot of these teams that are picking right now 1 through 10 in the NFL draft, they're probably all like, oh, that's a random good win. And then like, oh, those are two horrible losses. And then it all adds up to, you know, 2-8, 3-7.
Who have the Ravens lost? The Ravens lost to the Browns and the Raiders, right?
Yeah.
So that means those two crappy teams have beaten the Baltimore Ravens.
Correct.
So you're right. A lot of teams could probably do that. And you can look at the last 3 weeks a couple of different ways. You could say they've won two out of the last three and went to overtime in the middle. They're trending up. The game in the middle was so bad, though. And it was so bad for Mayo.
Yeah, it was.
Taking the wind in overtime, not going for two, letting Tennessee just bully you around. Like, they got bullied by Tennessee. So yeah. The one in the middle was so bad.
It stings.
But I still think the overall trend is up over the last 3 weeks.
And it's also amazing to look at it where they've played 10 games and they've literally started Brissett for half of those games, May for the other half.
Mm-hmm.
And Brissett had to come in relief. But how do you feel about the first five? Like looking back on it, just those five and then the last five. So, yeah, they're 2-3. That's a lot better than 1-4. But just everything about the team and the offense, even like I go back to like the entertainment value of the team.
Oh, they're much,
like Drake May. Like,
they're much more. Yesterday was not a well-played or entertaining game, but they're much more entertaining with May out there.
Oh, hell yeah. Yes. You want to just see what he's going to do?
Much more watchable, yeah.
And whether it's that fun play where it should have been a touchdown or him throwing the ball away left-handed or escaping the pocket or just trying to let guys on his team make a play, it's so much more fun to watch. And now, you know, they have another, what, 7 games to go and see if they can build off of this.
Are you revising your under of 4.5 wins?
No, I'm gonna. I started the year with that. I'm gonna stick by it. I do think there's another win on the schedule. I think the Colts is a very winnable game at home in a couple of weeks.
So you're brushing right up against it.
Oh yeah. Sure you are. That's betting.
That's still an under. Yeah, no, that's true. You don't win a lot of easy ones. That's true, Keith.
Yeah.
Every once and then you back into an easy win, but usually you're sweating it out.
I feel like there should be a lot of positivity following the game yesterday.
Uh-huh.
But it is one of those ones where the Bears would have lost to anybody yesterday.
Agreed.
They were so bad. And the Tennessee loss does still stand out to me where you're like, all right, what's it going to take for them to get another win? And the Rams coming up at the Dolphins, Colts. I'm like, yep, Colts. But then Buffalo twice.
Colts are at home, and it might be Richardson by that. They might be back to Richardson. Flacco's been ass. I like Flacco. He's been really bad. So you could beat Flacco, and it might be Richardson by then, which
and then the other two games are Arizona and the Chargers, who both might need those games for the playoffs. And, you know, I've just been playing pretty well. So, yeah, I think they win one more, but that would still be the under 4.5.
I've been over 4.5 all year. I went from 6-5 when I thought Drake May was going to start. When I said they win 6 games, I thought Drake May was going to play week 1.
They are ahead of last year's curve. They were 2-10 to start last year.
Yeah.
For all the people that are like, Belichick would be better. It's like, all right, they were 2-10 last year, and so 3-7.
They kicked it into hyperdrive in December last year.
Oh, yeah.
But
they just ran out of time. I mean, you gave them another month.
I'm still on the over. Here's like Indy looks like the only true winnable game left. Maybe week 18's a toss-up, but Buffalo doesn't need it. But I didn't see them beating Chicago yesterday. I didn't see them beating New York a few weeks ago. I didn't see them beating Cincinnati. So we don't always see the wins coming with this team would be my point. They can lose to anybody. They've proven that. They've lost to Jacksonville. They've lost to Tennessee. But there are some games we didn't anticipate them winning that they pulled out. Like Rams at home on a short week, Keith. That's not a winnable game at all. Patriots, Rams. Rams are going to be on a short week flying across the country. That's not a winnable game.
It is. No, it's winnable.
I'm not picking them, but that's
it's winnable.
That's a winnable game.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
but I feel like I've been so bad at it. Like they're going to beat the Jaguars. They lost. They're going to lose to the Jets. They won. They're going to beat the Titans. They lost. Like I think go opposite whatever I think.
Yeah.
Recently, last month.
I also thought they would beat Jacksonville and Tennessee. I don't.
Like I lost Hams on the Tennessee and the Jacksonville game, so I'm like I can't bet this team anymore.
I thought they would be competitive. I didn't pick a win, but I said I'd take the Patriots and the points against Chicago.
I thought you did say they were going to win. I think you did on Friday.
Did I? Did I ultimately talk myself into a win? I talked myself into a cover.
You definitely talked yourself into a cover.
But when we were going over, I think I was
more weaselly than that. I don't think outright picked him for a win. I don't think.
But when we were going over the Parlay Princess's 13-legger, which, spoiler, didn't hit, she had Patriots winning there.
How about that?
And you were like, yeah.
One of those legs?
Yeah. She had one of the legs, yeah.
I definitely had him losing to the Jets back on the 27th, and that was a win. So I'm over on 4.5. I don't think the ceiling is very high with this team. But I do think there's value in ending the year on an upswing. And I think there's potential there to end the year on an upswing. I do. 617-779-7937. Some of the roster things the Patriots are doing are interesting. Benching Kendrick Bourne.
Yeah.
Strange.
I don't like it. Although he's like the one guy in the league, I feel like, that would still have a good attitude about it.
Yeah, it's true.
You know?
And I just wonder if they thought there was more value in keeping him on the roster and his attitude in the locker room as opposed to like a conditional 7th-round pick in 2 years. I wonder if they just did that calculus and they're like, this is all we're getting.
I guess.
Maybe they should also be in the room because the room's been so good all year. Yeah, you need that leadership.
No, I know.
There.
You're not getting a whole lot, but maybe they also think like we've had so many injuries on like the offensive line, for example, or defensive players that like, you lose a couple receivers, you'd rather have them than not.
I just don't get telling him that and playing KJ Osborne the second most snaps of wide receiver. It doesn't make sense.
Bizarre.
You don't get the Ngakoue claim. They claimed Yannick Ngakoue from Baltimore. Who cut him? Baltimore?
I mean, he's been on like nine teams I think it was Baltimore, yeah.
He started to get passed around the league.
Two teams put in claims for him.
Yeah, the other was the Bengals.
Yeah, so he's probably like, what?
Yeah. And I'll tell you, just listening to Mike Reese peppering Mayo this morning, I wonder if Reese has heard anything that Ngakoue doesn't want to report, isn't happy about being claimed here. Maybe he'll report.
He was probably as surprised as I was. Usually when guys get cut, like veteran players that might have value, I feel like they either don't get claimed and then they can go sign wherever they want, or maybe like a good team, like a playoff team, grabs them just to make sure that they get them. Usually like another one of the worst teams in the league doesn't get them.
Strange.
Like I guess maybe they just don't like the bodies they have up front. You would have thought, all right, you just play the guys that you have and see who's a keeper for next year, but I guess add him to the mix.
I have no problem with that claim. You know, if it doesn't work out, move on from him. If he's a problem in the room, oh, well, you have a million of those already.
Yeah. No,
so, like, you should be able to just move on. It's not any real money, I don't think. He's bounced around now. He's played for Jacksonville, Baltimore, Vegas, Indy, Chicago, Minnesota, and now the Patriots. So he's bounced around. But here's the sack totals in the league. I read these earlier. Starting in 2016, 8, 12, 9.5, 8, 8, 10, 9.5. Last 2 years have been down, 4, 1.5 so far this year. But that's a pass rusher with some talent. And we'll see if this defense can get it out of him. And if you can't, oh, well. I mean, you're trying to upgrade your – this team needs to take flyers like that. I'm not saying there's a high likelihood it hits, but I'm okay with that flyer. 617-779-7937. We'll get back into your phone calls. You can start lining up as well. WEEI Afternoons, they're going to talk to Drake May at some point here today on a Patriots Monday. Also, Jonathan Jones, that's Arcan and Hart taking over at 2. Billy Lanny has all the latest here in trending. And when we come back – it's time for Grab Bag.
It's time for Grab Bag. It's time for Grab Bag.
All right, it is. In fact, time for Grab Bag here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Stuff we couldn't get to in the first 3.5 hours of the program, including, Jones, a very successful weekend for your Boston Celtics. Friday night, overtime they needed, but they got the win over the Brooklyn Nets. And then yesterday, taking on Giannis Antetokounmpo and the struggling Milwaukee Bucks, they get the win, and more importantly, Jaylen Brown returns from his hip injury. But Celtics, after that loss to Golden State on Wednesday, back-to-back wins up to 9-2.
No, that's a good win for them. Yesterday, I flipped on after the Pats ended. I was flipping in and out on that game and some of the 4 o'clocks, which were garbage yesterday. So, no, good weekend for the Celtics. The Nets game, you know, was closer than it should have been. Even for a while, they started to dig themselves in these early holes. They were down 12, 14, 16, nothing to Brooklyn. They were down way early to Milwaukee yesterday. I'd say Jaylen doesn't look 100% right. But it's good that he was back out there. And
got
keep
good
winning.
Minutes. Like, he played like 37 minutes, because that was one thing I was wondering. And they say, you know, oh, there's no restriction. But then the guy plays 20 minutes. Right. You're like, well, something's up. So he played a lot. Clearly looked like a guy who hadn't played in a week or whatever. You know, his shot wasn't there. Tatum had a big game. Led the team in points, rebounds, and assists. So Tatum played well.
He was real pissy with that one official who missed Giannis getting in his landing space.
Well, so Giannis like elbowed Jaylen Brown, but then he tried to make it up to him, and he's like, hey, shake hands.
Yeah.
And then Jaylen Brown was like, all right, whatever, went to shake his hand. Giannis did the old, oh, I'm actually fixing my hair.
Not to get ahead of ourselves, but that's what I wanted Swayman to do to Allmark this weekend.
Didn't happen.
That is exactly what I was calling for.
Extend the, hey, my bad, dude, like, psych! Hey, give it here. Wait a minute, I'm up here with it.
You're too slow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you hit him with one of those.
Following the game, Jaylen Brown was asked about that.
Giannis hit you with the offensive foul, and then he, like, fake shook your hand and pulled it back. Are you laughing at that? Do you think it's funny, or does that kind of piss you off?
Giannis is a child. You know, I'm just focused on helping my team get a win, and that's what we did tonight.
That's good.
It's a good answer.
I was going to say, I haven't
Giannis,
always loved Jaylen Brown nor Joe Mazzulla, but those guys, they're winning me over.
That is clown behavior by Giannis. It is.
It's a clown.
That's a clown move.
You're a child.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown's like, you are a child.
Like, whose
Remember
side
when he chased somebody through the tunnel for the game ball?
Yeah. Yes.
Dude, yeah. Dude, Giannis, I mean, he's won the title, so he avoids a lot of the criticism that would be coming his way. But for a guy that has been the first, second, and third best player in the NBA for 8 years running, whatever it is, like, he has not won nearly enough.
Giannis is a child.
Well, yeah, he's a child.
There's that. He's a child. Remember the thing the other when he lost in the playoffs in like round one? He's like, oh yeah, I mean, we're just all so lucky.
That was the most pathetic thing of all time.
The softest, wussiest press conference I've ever seen. That's where I became out on Giannis.
It's not a failure. It's steps to success.
No, it's a failure.
I liked how passionate he was about it, but none of it made sense. And you're like, oh my God.
I know.
Basically, he was like, there's no winners and losers in sports.
Yeah, right.
It's just like sports are sports. And you're like,
Here's the thing. You've won, but you're a loser.
You're a loser.
With that press conference. And yeah, I have trouble getting behind that. There's also an element to his game. Tell me if you think I'm wrong about this. It's a little bit like James Harden, where I know he's good, and Harden has fallen off, but Harden in his prime. I know he's good, but I don't really like watching it.
No, the Greek freak thing, when he came onto the scene, so he actually wasn't like amazing right away in the pros, but then once he became amazing, he was like, oh my God, he took one dribble and didn't travel. And everyone was like, I traveled. One dribble like inside a half court and like took off from the three-point or the free throw line and like dunked in game. Mm-hmm. And you're like, holy crap.
That's sick.
But no, it's kind of like just bully you. Like, there's no real finesse or great offensive game. It's just he is so physically gifted. He gets a lot of points that way. But yeah, he's not really that fun to watch.
It's not fun to watch. It feels like a loophole and a cheat code, which is how James Harden used to feel. Yeah.
But I was making the point 5 years ago. I was like, if this guy can win three or four titles, you could argue he's better than LeBron.
Oh.
I was making that point. Now, that is obviously blown up in my face and it's kind of fizzled. But don't you think, like, he won back-to-back MVPs, and then he finished top three, top four, like, every year. He actually won his first title, I think,
before LeBron,
younger than LeBron won his first title. Yeah. And he didn't do it with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh and, like, a team that had already won and all that stuff.
With Chris Middleton and, in fairness, Drew Holiday. But, not the same.
Not the same.
Not the same at all.
No. And so I was like, maybe you could make a case that Giannis is better than LeBron. No, it hasn't. And now I think what you're going to get is just really great player, wins one, so it separates him from Barkley and Karl Malone and Patrick Ewing, but he's a lot closer to those guys than he is.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. How do you reinvigorate him? Does he have to play somewhere? Does he have to go somewhere else and play somewhere else?
I thought Lillard might do it. Didn't work.
No,
I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Doc doesn't help, clearly.
Does he go somewhere at the end of his career where he's like the second best player, kind of like when Shaq played with Wade and like,
maybe.
So somebody like, I don't know, like John Morant.
But you need to get that guy to recommit. He's not committed. That guy's not committed.
No.
And so you need to get him recommitted.
I don't think Doc's going to unlock it.
No, me either. I don't think it's going to work in Milwaukee. So maybe you got to look at him going somewhere else.
I gotta get my larynx fixed.
He does have to get his larynx fixed. Yeah, but that was kind of a mess.
Grab bag?
No. No, I don't think I will.
Already mentioned the goalie reunion. Jeremy Swayman and Linus Ullmark in a big tilt between the Bruins and the Ottawa Senators, in which the Ottawa Senators were able to come out on top 3-2 in overtime.
Yeah, look, Swayman, another power play goal. The Bruins allow power play goals every single night.
All the time. He actually had a bunch of saves.
Yeah, I didn't think he was bad in that game, but he loses to Ullmark, which I just think the optics just aren't great. You get your point, you go to overtime, you lose.
They had a nice moment for him. He got a little video tribute. He got a standing ovation.
And it's hard over Ullmark. Yeah. It's hard to win for Swayman when your team doesn't get a shot on goal in the final third period. You're outshot 12-0. That's a hard one to win.
The whole period?
Yeah. So I don't crush Swayman for the game the other night. It's just you lose to Ullmark. That's a tough
one. He was like one of the stars of the game.
The team around you is flat at the end of the game. And then you have Montgomery doing the Montgomery thing after the game.
It was like a 90-second post game where I don't have any answers for you.
Do we have any of that, Nick?
Do you have a taste of Jim Montgomery? Let's hear
a little sampling of that. Yeah.
How's it
Jim,
feeling?
Do you question whether they're listening?
No, I don't question that.
So what's preventing it from the message getting through?
It's up for you guys to figure that out and come up with a reason.
It's you.
We just weren't good enough.
It's you.
You guys can write what you guys think is the malaise on the team and what's going wrong.
You're the
malaise. We're just not playing good enough.
You, Monty.
There's like a general malaise.
I think that's a
you like the use of malaise?
Well, I think that's like a kind of a crutch go-to word. That's not the first time he's used that over the last few years. Okay. So I think that's like a word he likes to use. Got it. But that word wasn't put in his mouth. He's the one who brought up malaise. So your team's in a malaise, Monty.
They are in a malaise.
Good to know.
They are 7-7-2 currently. Off tonight at St. Louis tomorrow night. And then at Dallas, then back for St. Louis again. So you're going to get to know the Blues here this week. That's what I'll say about that. The Bruins might be singing the Blues.
They might be.
Thank God.
It's grab bag.
It's
grab bag.
It's my
grab bag.
My
grab bag.
College football weekend. Oregon remained undefeated with a blowout win over Maryland. Ohio State blew out Purdue. I guess an upset, although I think you were on this one. Ole Miss at home knocked off number three Georgia 28-10.
I got scared.
Did you bet this?
No. Oh. Trey Harris wasn't active. And I said, I don't want to go near that. He might be the best wide receiver in college football. I should have, because that was an easy win for Ole Miss. I didn't actually bet it.
Ole Miss dominated. The U lost their first game of the year at Georgia Tech. They got stung in that one there. So the U drops the game. Texas blew out Florida. Penn State blew out Washington. A lot of lopsided games. Indiana held on to a 2015 win over Michigan. So the Hoosiers remain undefeated.
They didn't cover, but that's one I did bet, yeah.
Alabama blew out LSU on the road. BYU beat Utah. They remain undefeated. BYU does. How about Florida State? So BC beats Florida State at the beginning of the year, and you're like, all right, something's obviously off with Florida State. To the tune of them being 1-9?
Yeah,
they were arguing about making the playoff, and I know their quarterback graduated, but they were arguing about making the playoff last year. They're 1-9. They lost 52-3 to Notre Dame.
Yeah, not great.
And did they fire all their coordinators?
Yes.
Oh, and they did. Wide receivers coach. Yes. And Keon Coleman was like, guys, don't transfer here. This guy's terrible.
Yeah. Was it Mike Norville?
Yeah, he's the coach.
So he's still there.
For now.
Yeah. Everybody else is gone.
Yeah.
The running back for Boise State had another 200-yard game, 3 touchdowns. He's trying to chase down Barry Sanders.
People are with a straight face comparing this year to Barry Sanders.
Correct.
With a straight face.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then Deion Sanders in Colorado beat Texas Tech. So they're 7-2. And right now, I believe the Big 12 title game would be BYU versus Colorado. Colorado's playing pretty well.
I think Stephen A. is on the Deion to Dallas thing as well. So that's going to be trending this week. Get ready for it.
And you know what they also said? I think it was the first time maybe ever, or at least in X number of years, that on Veterans Day weekend, Army, Navy, and Air Force all won.
Well, they all won.
All won.
Good for them.
Dude, Army's good. Army's undefeated.
Beat
North Texas.
I watched Navy just
15-minute drive in that game.
Did they?
15-minute drive.
Nice. 21 plays, 14 minutes.
We'll take the quarter.
Yeah, I don't know that I actually want to watch that, but still.
It's not aesthetically
Jacksonville
pleasing.
Had a drive like that against the Pats earlier this year.
Yeah, that's true.
I watched Navy against Air Force earlier this year, so yeah, I watched the academies. Maybe Army-Navy, always a fun watch. Always a worthwhile watch.
Always real good.
And yeah, they might actually both be in the top 25 when that happens.
Grab bags.
This Friday, they've already started with a lot of the promotional material for it. Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul on Netflix. You in on this?
Probably not, but I know Billy is. Billy's watching previews for it earlier, right?
Netflix has already paid for him. Always been a Mike Tyson fan. Why not?
So
it is Iron Mike.
It's not like a separate charge. If I have Netflix, I'll just get that on Friday.
No, I don't think there's any kind of.
It's like when Joey Chestnut and Kobayashi went at it on Netflix. That was free.
Just shows up.
I mean, quote unquote free.
It's at Dallas Stadium, so like it's like let's see. Like I want to see that place packed out.
Yeah. Chance it's on the up and up?
I didn't realize that, but I watch it.
So.
You're saying no chance?
I don't think so.
None?
Does Jake Paul win
by
points?
You're saying boxing might be fixed?
It might be.
Yeah.
Might be okay. Fixed.
But maybe Mike's just like, I can't deal with this.
I don't know. Like,
I know you paid me a lot of money, but I'm going to slug you in the gut one time.
Right, that's the thing, too. It's like, I want to see, like, because, like, you know, you see the footage they release of Mike Tyson training, and he still looks like a machine.
How old is Tyson
But again, like, he's closing in on 100. No, he's got to be, I think he's pushing 60.
I was going to say, he's got to be like 60.
Right there if he's not already 60.
60 was my guess.
He's 58.
Okay,
he's
so
young.
58 years old. And the thing is,
same age as Salma Hayek, I believe.
Nice.
Yeah,
both of them look great for that.
They really do.
They do.
Now, I want to believe it's on the up and up, and I want to believe Tyson knocks him out, but I don't know. I don't know why Jake Paul would ever do it. It's a lose-lose. If you win, you beat a 60-year-old guy. If you lose, you lost to a 60-year-old guy.
58.
I think you say I beat Mike Tyson, though.
Yeah.
You just leave him with that. Yeah, what year did you beat him?
It's true, though.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about all the fine details there. The promotional material that you were watching earlier, Billy, he was saying it'll go down as the biggest win in boxing history.
He's right, yeah. Well, that's just Jake Paul selling it. This is going to be the biggest fight of all time.
Yeah.
This is going to be the biggest
I'll watch
knockout.
It, though, I think.
It's free
but again,
on
like,
Netflix.
If
free on Netflix, sure.
Exactly.
I guess I'm in now, yeah.
Most people have Netflix. There's no reason. I mean, if you're home on Friday, why not throw it on?
Have
it's
they
like,
been?
It's not,
I'll stop watching I'm Detroiters paying. Reruns for a minute.
Yeah. I already flew through that.
Have they been?
Flew through that.
They've been leaning in on the live events, right? We said that with the Brady roast. They've been leaning in more on the live events.
Yeah, so they
hot
did that,
dog eating.
The hot dog thing. They've done like comedy stand-ups.
Yeah.
Like Chris Rock was live. They did a Joe Rogan one live. They've done tennis, but I mean, I couldn't tell you what the tournament was.
Yeah.
But no, Netflix is definitely getting involved in the live events.
Nice.
Okay, I like it.
And here comes the grab bag. Grab, grab, bag, 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 grab, grab, bag.
Oklahoma City Thunder star Chet Holmgren suffered a pelvic fracture. Not like my Saturday nights. Come on. No, he's hurt real bad, though. Yeah. So
it's the opposite of college, Jones.
No.
A lot of very healthy pelvis.
Pelvic's just fine over here, thanks.
Dropped my laptop on it really hard.
Don't need to ask, fellas. Yeah. The pelvis is still intact.
Yeah. Spilled a beer on it once. I'm fine. I'm fine now.
In good shape.
I changed my pants.
Very
he's going to be like reevaluating like 8 to 10 weeks.
Yeah, I would.
But that's one of those guys. He looks like Ichabod Crane. No, like, he is so thin.
It's like Porzingis.
Yeah.
You just watch him and you're like, that guy's about to break.
Yeah, it's scary.
Yeah.
And Wembanyama, it is the Slender Man competition. Exactly. Even Porzingis is like thicker than those two guys are.
Yeah, you just know.
Dude, he's broken pelvis? He's how often do you hear that?
Well, isn't it the second time? He's like.
Two pelvis?
It's unfortunate.
Pelvis fractures?
Two pelvi?
Pelvi?
It's unfortunate, but I know how to deal with this. Like that, he's like he's like tweeting from the hospital.
Yeah, he's like, I got this, guys.
Yeah, guys, I know how to deal with this.
Yeah, drink more milk. Like, I don't know if that's it.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's random.
Brandon Phillips.
Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Luskanic.
Baseball player of the day.
All right, gentlemen, today's random baseball player of the day was primarily a shortstop.
Okay.
Played a lot of second base. You can find him at second base, but most of his games at shortstop. Played for a number of clubs, mostly with the Chicago Cubs, as well as the Royals, Yankees, Giants, Red Sox, Devil Rays, Mets, Braves, Mariners.
Okay.
Again, let's see, 1,500 games. Almost 600 with the Cubs. So mostly with the Cubs, then the Royals.
Alex Gonzalez. Alex Gonzalez.
Nope, not Alex Gonzalez.
Neither Alex Gonzalez?
There's so many Alex Gonzalez.
Sure, I made sure I covered both of them.
Right, so he played
here.
The one
that played for the Red Sox was awesome.
Yep.
I'm sorry. I know there's a lot of teams. Give me the teams one more time. Cubs who? Cubs, Royals.
Cubs, Royals, mainly. Also, Yankees, Giants, Red Sox, Devil Rays, Mets, Braves, Mariners.
So we haven't gone the years yet. So his second base time with the Yankees has to be at second base. The second base time with New York, he was playing second.
Yeah, hit us with the years.
Okay, 1991 to 2005. It was a long, lengthy career for this gentleman.
I want to say, I know this name's wrong, but I want to say Rich Cirillo. I know it's not Rich Cirillo, but is there another Rich?
There's a Jeff Cirillo. It's not him either.
Jeff Cirillo.
Yeah.
We might have already had him in this game.
I think we did use Jeff Cirillo.
Did I also call him Rich then?
We're running out of random guys.
I actually think you did.
I think I called him Rich then too. His name was Jeff Cirillo, not Rich Cirillo.
That's not a guy. Not a guy at all.
That's his brother.
Could be.
Yeah.
All right.
It's Billy Ripken.
He is a zero-time All-Star.
Okay.
He hit 3 home runs 1 year.
Come on.
He stole 11 bases 1 year.
Mickey Morandini.
He got down to 3-11.
That's a great guess. It's not. A career. Yeah, he played 15 years. Never hit a home run. Never stole a bag.
Stole the glove.
Zero-time
Alex Gonzalez is a good guess.
Yeah, Alex Gonzalez was a good guess. Both Alex Gonzalez.
I got
272 career average.
I got to be honest, I got nothing.
No?
No.
All right, let me give you the year he played for the Red Sox. 2002, he was here.
I forgot you said he was on the Red
107
Sox,
107 games with the Red Sox.
Mike Lanton.
Not Mike Lanton. Not the laser.
Text or anything in the
Twitch.
Twitch has it?
Twitch has it.
Simon Bolivar?
Nope.
Ray Sanchez?
He got it!
Ray Sanchez.
I was
thinking it was like Ray Odonez, but I didn't hear the Mets in there.
R-E-Y.
I only know Pablo Sanchez, backyard baseball legend.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Well, Pablo Sanchez is an all-timer. Yeah, Ray Sanchez, good shortstop, second baseman. Hung around the league a long time.
Real nice glove.
Definitely a glove.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Mostly
a
glove.
Yeah.
Did have 153 hits in the 0-1 season.
Yeah.
He'd smack you a hit.
Yeah.
It was probably red contact.
It was a single.
Yeah. Right between first and second baseman. He'd roll one over.
He might steal a second base.
Okay, Ray Sanchez. Nice job.
Nicely done.
Nice job
right.
To the Twitch
Nice
chat.
Job.
Twitch.tv/bots.
There you go. There's the bag today.
Random baseball player of the day every day here on Jones and Keefe. There's your grab bag. We'll check in with WEEI Afternoons. We know they're talking to Drake May today. What else do they have? And we'll get you the clip du jour next.
Time out for the clip du jour.
Oh, that's nice. What's the clip du jour?
It's the clip of the day.
Ah.
It's the clip of the day. Nick, what did we stumble on? I know we had two that we narrowed it down to. What did we end up pulling?
Oh, we went with Best of Christian Gonzalez.
That's what I thought. We had a couple of others in
Gonzo
the hopper.
Best of.
So Christian Gonzalez, Patriots Monday, a staple of Patriots Monday is Christian Gonzalez. And here is, if you happen to miss it, here's some of the best from the great Patriots corner. How much of a factor was the wind yesterday? Just watching on TV seemed like it was pretty, windy there. Did that affect the pass game, you think?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5
No, not too bad. It's pretty chill.
6, 7
What did you think of Caleb Williams yesterday?
8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13
I mean, I think he had a tough day, but I mean, he's a competitor.
15, 16, 17
You know, props to him for making the plays he did make.
18, 19, 20.
What do you think of the Longhorn package? I think it's the first time we were introduced to the Longhorn package. Gerard Mayo was talking about it. Brendan Schooler coming in on defense, making a big play.
21, 22, 23, 24.
Yeah, I was happy for school being able to, you know, get out there and show what he can do on defense.
There it is. If you missed it, check out the Odyssey app for the whole interview. It's mostly Jones and I talking. You're sort of like repeating the question within the question.
Sometimes you just like, hey, I didn't hear that. What was that question? You got to repeat it.
Yeah.
If Francesca could help us out, we're just counting down
live
the
counting.
There.
That'd be useful. Yeah. Yeah. He wasn't really feeling it today. He thought maybe after a win, maybe in better spirits.
Hunter Henry definitely is
more into it after a win. I get it. You live and die with this. This is your job. I get it.
You pointed it out earlier, Keith. I think you did a good job of observing this, but. No matter what, people aren't loving that interview weekly. It's either us or him.
Something's off there. Let's just say it wasn't us that they were mad at.
Something's off there.
Yeah.
Although Ken, the boss man, popped his head and he has a suggestion.
Well, we're cooking something up.
We are cooking
next week
up.
Might be different.
Yeah.
Different, better, different, worse. Tune in to find out.
Yeah.
There's only one way to know. You be the judge. I'm not going to tell you how to feel about it.
No. I would never.
Maybe you're out there. Maybe you love it. Maybe you love the insight that you get on those interviews.
Yeah.
You know?
I do. I will say it gets a big reaction. That interview every week gets a big reaction.
It does. It lights up.
It does.
Oh, my God.
By the way, speaking of lighting up, text line was lighting up.
The
text line might have gone silent there for a little bit. I didn't see Ray Sanchez as the correct answer, but I got a lot of Sean Dunstan's.
Oh, Sean's ball. Yeah, Cub.
But was it? Was it Shawan or Sean?
I think it was pronounced Sean.
But he spelled it
but
Sean.
But it was one of like 20 different ways. Remember like Sean Figgins?
Figgins.
There's a lot. Like Sean Marion spells it different than Sean Elliott.
Sean
spells
Drone.
It different
than Sean like, Drone? Sean Drone.
Sean.
Drone.
Ruben Drone.
Ruben Drone?
Jeff. Running back?
Jeff Cirillo.
Rich Cirillo is not a guy. Pokey Reese, Jeff Fry, Mark Lemke, Mark Loretta, Mark Grudzelanic, Spike Owen.
Some good names.
A lot of names coming through.
Good, strong.
Like that game. Good game.
So we got WEEI Afternoons coming up with Arcan and Hart. They're going to be talking to Drake May today. The crossover typically brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. You can visit the Nines. Their new $14.99 big deal meals every Monday through Wednesday. 4 new hearty full-size entrees for just $14.99, like the roast turkey dinner or the chopped sirloin steak. You gotta love the Nines.
I know Hart was actually tweeting about it yesterday. The Drake May.
He didn't like the clapping.
No, and he loves Drake May.
Yeah.
So I think he'll at least ask him about it.
Okay, good.
We'll see what he says about it.
Maybe they'll give him a standing O.
They should. Well, they should.
Well, they should on behalf of the defense.
Right.
That's what they should do.
Listen, I'm not against cheering. I mean, we had literally confetti guns when Drake May was named the starter. I'm just saying the beat writers there are not supposed to be cheering.
Well, you'll get Andy Hart's takes on that, all of his and Christian's thoughts on the game yesterday. You can jump in line 617-779-7937. That's WEEI Afternoons. It comes your way next. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10 right here on WEEI.